Andrew, welcome back.
Hey, Tess. How are you?
I'm going really well. How are you? It's been a while since we've had you in.
It's true. It's true. So all the requisite holiday salutations to people. it was all such a long time ago.
It was.
But, you know, I think people are still kind of winding down. There would be lots of younger listeners who are getting ready to go back to various academic institutions type of thing. Shout out to all the kids starting kindy, getting into the academic institutions there. But it's been nice to have a bit of a break. Final Draft's been on sort of a summer session. So thank you for everyone tuning in for kind of a best of. But I've just been enjoying myself, been doing a bit of reading and that sort of thing.
I'm shocked that you've used your time off to read.
I do other stuff, but if I don't say I'm reading, people are like, what's up with the book guy not reading?
So what are we having a chat about today?
Well, I mean, look, I've been away, and so I've done a lot of wide reading. So, of course, during the year, I'm mostly bringing you Australian books. So when I have a break, I try to tend to look at the rest of the world. I've read things like The Travelling Cat Chronicles, which is this really famous Japanese novel by Hiro Arakawa, which is just fantastic and whimsical, and, I mean, Japanese authors writing about cats is just wonderful.
I'm here for it, yeah.
I've actually got If Cats Disappeared from the World on my to-read list, which promises to be heartbreaking and tragic, so maybe I'll bring that in for you sometime this year.
I will not cope with that.
I also read one of the Booker shortlist authors, Everything Under by Daisy Johnson, which was fantastic because I was in the UK as I'm reading this, and it's set sort of on the canals, and I read A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. So just these fantastic, amazing prize-winning books from around the world. But it occurred to me. So, you know, the day that many people know as Invasion Day, other people call Australia Day, incredibly controversial day where whatever happens, we are remembering things about our country. And so I thought, why don't we talk a little bit about that? And another book that I read was Ta-Nehisi Coates' We Were 8 Years in Power. So if you're not familiar, if any of the listeners aren't familiar, Ta-Nehisi Coates, he is an essayist, he's a journalist and an author. He did a critically acclaimed run on the Black Panther comics series, which was really well regarded. And We Were 8 Years in Power, it's a series of essays that explores Coates' reflections on being Black in America. And these were written for The Atlantic during the 8 years of Obama's presidency.
Okay.
So these were just different reflections on race and being Black. So things like, you know, why don't more black people study the Civil War? And he looks at the impact of incarceration on the Black family. And he intersperses this with his own personal reflections, because in that time he went from being really a struggling writer to being, I think he's a little uncomfortable with the term, but, you know, sort of being considered like the premier speaker on race relations in America or something like that. So he's talking about race. And one point that that Coates returns to and that he elucidates is that relations between Black and white America, and that racism itself in America, it's not this unfortunate series of behaviors, as we often hear racism reflected, you know, there are racists and they do racist things.
Deliberately.
And sometimes there are racists who aren't aware of their racism and just do it unconsciously. But there are these people. And if you recognize it and you decry it, you're not one of those people. And that these relationships, Coates sort of elucidates that these relationships and that the racism itself is actually fundamental to the foundation and ongoing life of the country. So this is America. And that white prosperity is in fact built on dispossession, stolen labor, and appropriated culture. So I'm reading this and I'm sort of thinking, well, where does that leave us in Australia? Some 230 years after colonial Britain set their sights on Terra Australis, this, you know, great southern land that they considered to be empty.
Yeah, terra nullius, of course.
Yeah, so the international law, under international law, they declared it to be terra nullius. And they colonized, in their figuring of things, Another way of looking at it was that they invaded a land that was settled by some 250 more, maybe 300 plus countries. And so we have this current debate because at the moment, with no treaty between Australia's Indigenous inhabitants and the people that have arrived since that invasion, with no treaty, with no prospect of discussion of historic and ongoing dispossession, can we say that we're any different? Can we say that this society that we call our own is not built on dispossession, is not built on stolen labour, and is not built on cultural appropriation? Because of course, we like to think we're self-made people and we go at tough things, but really, could modern British Australia, Australians have survived in this harsh climate without guidance, without knowledge that they acquired from welcoming Indigenous inhabitants? So I had this interesting thought process, and in the lead up to Australia Day, to Invasion Day, however you figure this day, I thought I need to keep thinking about this, and I wanted to share those thoughts with people. So I mean, I would definitely recommend getting and reading We Were 8 Years in Power by Ta-Nehisi Coates. You don't have to go to an American author for this. So there are great American authors writing about these sorts of issues. But if you want to have a look at some of these issues, you could do worse than check out Claire G. Coleman's Terra Nullius, which I have spoken to you about on the show.
You have.
Fantastic, fantastic speculative fiction book. Kim Scott's Taboo, which looks at the effects of the legacy of frontier wars and mass slaughters. You could read the Anita Heiss edited Growing Up Aboriginal in Australia. Or even if you want to broach these topics with your kids, if you've got kids, you could do worse than look at Sean Tan's book, The Rabbits.
Oh, wow, of course. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that book.
So, yeah, so in the lead up to January 26th, I'm not a big celebrator. I like to get down to Yarban if I'm around. And I like to think about what this means because there's a lot of talking and there's a lot of shouting. And I'm a white Australian and I probably think I just, probably just need to shut up and think about it and then decide my own position. And this is reading that's helping me do that. So I wanted to share that with everyone.
And so what else do we actually have coming up?
Well, all right. There's a lot of things that are coming up that I've started reading. So a bit of a sneak preview for the coming weeks. I have got the third installment in a worldwide best-selling series from an Australian author.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think people that are watching new releases will know what I'm talking about. Much anticipated third in the series. I've got a thriller about conjoined twins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I've also got a fantastic second novel from an Australian writer of speculative fiction, and this one's about zombies. So I'm really excited. I'm not gonna give you names and titles yet because I want them to be a surprise. So they'll be coming up on Final Draft, and of course I'll be bringing them in for you, Tess.
Andrew, thank you so much. It's good to see you again.
My pleasure.